the Rugby Union Podcast.
Hello, welcome to William Hill's Rugby Union Podcast. My name's Michael Casey and I'm joined by former England front row forward Jeff Probyn as we go in search of all the best betting opportunities ahead of this weekend's round three of Six Nations fixtures. Jeff, could this be the weekend that the championship is ultimately won or lost?
I think it's always too soon to be saying that. You know, it's easy to look at the results and say, you know, if Ireland beat England, it means Ireland are up for a Grand Slam. But then they've still got to face France. So, you know, if France beat Wales, then it will be a clash between those two who ends up winning the championship and possibly a Grand Slam. Or vice versa, if England were to beat Ireland, suddenly everything is in England's favour to possibly win the Six Nations facing against Ireland. If Wales turn it around and win well against the French, then it's possible they could be Six Nations Championship. So actually, there's still all to play for going into the final couple of weeks. But the reality is that we'll learn a lot more about each team this week than we've learned in the previous two.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I guess a short answer being no, but it could possibly, it will shape certainly how we look at it into the final couple of weeks.
And obviously, I think it will. And you know, the confidence that each team will get out of, or the should we say, the despair that each team will get out of this week could be the overriding factor to how it pans out for the later part of the championship.
Sure. Well, this weekend sees the one and only Friday night game of the tournament. We've got the French. They're going to Cardiff on Friday night to Millennium Stadium to take on a Wales side who, well, they got a bit of a thumping over in Dublin a fortnight ago. Wales are 4-6 to win this on home soil. 18-1 the draw and 13-10 France. There's plenty of selection things to talk about. There's plenty of betting opportunities. Jeff, before we get stuck into all that, how do you call this one?
I think it's going to be a close game, but I think, in all honesty, I think France have got the confidence of a side that are starting to play a bit of rugby, and the Welsh have got the excuse of the Lions. So I think that I think France will win it. I think France will win it, to be honest. I think they're just about getting themselves together a little bit better. Having that easy game against Italy 2 weeks ago has given France confidence going forward. They had the stuttering win against England, obviously. They've got into their stride against Italy. Wales have, unfortunately, they had a stuttering start against Italy and then literally fell apart against Ireland. So it's a difficult selection for the Welsh. It's backs against the wall. They've had a few injuries. Obviously, Jonathan Davis not getting back for them fit. Scott Williams being injured. Whatever they say, it's a makeshift move to move George North to the centre. He doesn't see himself playing centre. He's been a winger for most of his career. He has stepped in there and stepped up to the plate. But it's a desperation statement, or it's a statement from Gatland about Welsh rugby, that they don't have strength in depth in quality centres, that they're moving a winger and they're creating what is going to be one hell of a big midfield in Jamie Roberts and George North. But having said that, you're going to have George North playing out of position against Wesley Fofana, who's one of the outstanding fast-footed centres in world rugby at the moment.
Yeah, it's certainly going to be a battle in midfield. I think actually Fofana might be playing at 12 this week, and it'll be Bastereau at 13. So, I mean, with regards to size and giants meeting in midfield, George North versus Mathieu Bastereau, that's certainly going to be a matchup. The other big selection change, if you like, for the Welsh this weekend, of course, was Mike Phillips, who has been dropped. I think the general synopsis of last weekend was maybe that he's been, you know, he was played by the Irish, if you like, and Rhys Webb, the Ospreys scrum half, has been selected in place. I don't know what you think of Rhys Webb. From what I've seen of him for the Ospreys, he seems to have quite a strong kicking game, which, you know, with it'd be Priestland outside him. Are we going to see the Welsh looking to kick quite often? Because Priestland doesn't shy away from looking for territory, does he?
I've got to be honest and say that if they do, they'll be playing right into the French's hands, because the French back three with Hergo and Doulin are very, very quick, very, very good at recycling. And we've seen in the previous two games with the French is the counter-attack where they're playing some of their best rugby. And the last thing you do is kick ball to them unless you're kicking for line-outs. But the French line-out's not a bad line-out. The Welsh may be confident about their line-out, but it didn't work that well against the Irish. So realistically, if that's the battle plan, I think the reality is that they've taken Phillips out because Phillips has become too confrontational. He's made too many battles personal and not for the team. And they're looking for the ball to be moved out into the backs to give the opportunity to the big runners like George North, like Jamie Roberts, like Cuthbert, and for Halfpenny to be able to get more into the game. I think that Phillips was probably taking too much on himself, getting too involved in battles that weren't really his own, and he should have been leaving that to the forwards.
Interesting then. So it's a good price about the French, and on the back of your logic, it's 13-10, Le Blues, who obviously they have a bit of a patchy away record of late in the Six Nations, but then again, I guess they have a patchy record for consistency across the board, and they haven't shown that so far this tournament. They were far more convincing in comparative terms, if you like, against Italy, and of course beat England despite a good display by England for, well,
yeah,
60 minutes, if you like.
The aspect is, you look at the French, and we do know France have come off the back of, I think it was 8 defeats out of 11. They've really had their last chance. They've got a good pack together. Thomas Domingo will certainly give Adam Jones a game. They've moved Swarzowski up into the hooker position. Nicholas Mass is. They've got a very, very good front row, very, very capable front row, and with Pape, and you know, they look at their old pack, and they've got a hell of a pack. Louis Picamole still is the number 8 of the tournament.
He was superb last weekend, wasn't he?
Despite how well Billy Vinapona has been playing, Picamole is still the carrying, powerful player that takes France forward, and it's going to be difficult for Wales to contain the French forwards. I think the French forwards will play a very forward-orientated game and look for the Welsh to kick the ball and give their backs the opportunity to counter-attack.
Okay, then, so 13-10 about France, a good bet. On the handicap, it's a 3-point spread, 10-11 each of two, so a +3-point head. A +3-point head start for France is 10-11. Take 3 points off the Welsh at 10-11. I guess if you like the 13-10, the +3 at 10-11 appeals. But would you maybe be a little bit more confident in Le Blues and take the outright price rather than the handicap?
I think I'm a little bit confident in the Blues. I think I'd go for an outright price on this. I think that they've got enough in the team to, I mean, it'll be between a 5 and 10 point difference, I think. I think, you know, if you look at the way the French have been scoring tries and basically the way that teams have learnt to contain Wales, it's interesting to see how teams have developed and learnt to contain the way that Wales are playing. Even the Welsh commentators are now saying that the Welsh side have plan A, but they don't have plan B. And unless they've developed a plan B in the last week, you know, France should be too strong and should be between 5 and 10 points different.
That'd be certainly quite some achievement to achieve a plan B in a week, I'd imagine. Then, so France 1 to 12 points gives you a bit more room for manoeuvre, if you like. That's 15-8, but 6 to 10 points. This is the French winning margin live. That's 11-2. So two bets there that would.
I'd go for the 11-2.
11-2, big price there for you then, Jeff. We also have tri-scorer markets live and available for you right now. Leading the market for either side, you've got. Welsh winger Alex Cuthbert at 7-4, and then for the French it's 11-4 about Jan Hugue, who scored a double, of course, in the opening week of the tournament. You've got Hugo Bonneval, who scored last weekend for the French. He's 3-1. Wesley Fofana, a man who we've talked about already, the Clermont centre. He has actually scored 7 tries in his last 9 starts at centre in the Six Nations. A pretty impressive record, particularly for a midfielder rather than a back three. You know, he's 3-1 as well. Have you got any picks that you would?
I'd look at Fofana, and you know, you can't write off George North coming off the side of Jamie Roberts either. You know, I mean, they are big lads. If the two of them are punching up, you may Bastereau versus North obviously is the big hit, but maybe Bastereau will be drawn into to stop Roberts, and then there's opportunities for North. So I'd look at George North. What sort of price is he?
George North is 5-2. You certainly fancy him if he got any room against Matthew Bastrow to be flight-footed enough to maybe make that count. So he's actually a shorter price than Fofana, but he is in the market at 5-2. So if that appeals, that's available. Louis Picamole, of course, we mentioned how fantastically he's been playing, and he, of course, dotted down last weekend. He's a bigger price, of course, being a forward, 4-1 for a try any time for the talismanic number 8. And Toby Faletau is opposite number. He's 5-1. Is there any forward you'd maybe look at as a try scorer?
Yeah, I'd look at Pigamore. I'd also look at Nenya, the Yannick Nenya.
Yeah, Yannick Nenya. He is priced up at 6-1. He touched down perhaps in the first weekend of the tournament, if I'm not wrong.
And he's a very quick player. He gets around the field well, does a lot of the unseen work that goes on. But he's a very good back row. He gets out there and he's very good at following up and being support players. So if there is space created by the back, then you can expect him to be on the shoulder. So he's certainly worth an outside bet.
Brilliant then. So to summarise our favourite picks in the first game of the weekend, Wales taking on France, Jeff.
France to win by between 6 and 10 points. I'd be looking at Fofana scoring for the French and George North. I'm going for the centres rather than the wingers for the Welsh, if we were looking for first try scorers for those two. But I think that Wales just don't have the confidence at the moment. They'll be back to the wall, be desperate stuff, and that's when they can make mistakes that let France sneak in.
Brilliant. 13-10 for France. George North is a 5-2 anytime try scorer. Wesley Fofana, he is 3-1. And with regards to that 6-10 point winning margin live, that is available for France at 11-2. The second game of the weekend sees what I think inevitably is going to be the battle for the wooden spoon, or the avoidance of the wooden spoon, as the Scots go to the Stadio Olimpico to take on Italy. Italy are 4-7 to win this tie, so favourites on home soil. 20-1 is the price available about the draw, and it's 6-4 for Scott Johnson Scotland. Jeff, how do you see this one going?
I think that Italy have played well. I've got to be honest, I'm surprised at some of the selections for Scotland, dropping Kelly Brown, despite the fact he may be getting a bit long in the tooth. He's still one of Scotland's best players. They've brought back Chris Cuthbertson for the bench, for the bench as a scrum half. So they've looked for experience. But the reality is Scotland are in a bad place at the moment, and whatever Scott Johnson does, he seems to be making mistakes. Dropping Denton, something you wouldn't expect for the effort, especially against an Italian side that have played with a bit of confidence. The second half against France let them down a bit, but certainly in that first game against Wales, we saw enough of the Italian side to say that they're no longer the automatic write-offs that we expect. I think this is going to be a close game. I actually think that as a good outside bet, the draw is worth the money.
Often overlooked, the draw in rugby, but it happens every now and then. 20-1 about the X. I'm glad that you went straight to the selection, particularly in the back row that Scott Johnson has gone with. I mean, we are seeing a back row of Jim Hamilton, Ryan Wilson, Chris Fazzaro and Johnny Beattie. As you say, David Denton been dropped to the bench. I cannot fathom the back row policy. I think they've been outplayed all tournaments, and now you're seeing Dave Denton dropped, I think, for one of the better players. And, you know, yeah. Saracens' Kelly Brown, he's still kind of frozen out and there's no interest about him. I think that
He's not even on the bench.
He's not included at all. No,
this is the amazing thing when you look at where Scott Johnson. I've got to think that perhaps Kelly Brown, as one of the senior players, has said something that has meant that he's been cast aside. But you know, they've got some good players in that Scottish side. You know, Stuart Hogg is good. He gets, you know, one of the best players in the Six Nations. He's a very good counter attacker. They've got a bit of power in Sean Lamott, and they lack a bit up front. Their front rows are not particularly good. Murray Lowe is probably the worst tight head in the in this Six Nations. But they brought back Richie Gray, so you know Richie Gray's been given a chance to show what he can do, and we saw him with the Lions. We've seen him in previous seasons. He's a great ball carrier. But you expect the Italians to stick pretty much to the sort of team that they've put out before, and you know they've got talented scrum half in Gorey. We know that Tomasino Allan as the fly half has really come of age and shown that he's got the skill. We know that Campanario, Nardio, who scored the two tries in that first game against Wales, is talented. And Luke McLean is good and solid. If Scotland try to play the kicking game, Luke McLean is good enough to put the ball back and take the ball back to him. And we've not even looked at the Italian forwards. Sergio Parisi, again, is always there or thereabouts. If Castro Giovanni has recovered from his injury, they're going to have a front row that's going to really trouble the Scots. It's going to be a messy game, and that's why I think there's a good chance of a draw, because in those sort of games, we'll get a lot of penalties, and it'll be how the goals are kicked. I expect the Italians to score maybe a try or two, and also I expect Scotland to really up their game to start with. But I think that both these sides are fairly evenly matched, despite the desperation in Scotland and despite the disappointment in Italy of the loss last week, the second half, particularly against the French. I think this game is... It's set up to be a bit of a cracker, but a bit of a mess.
Okay, then, so 20-1 the draw. I think if you look at the matchups across the field, of course, we're still waiting for team news for Italy. But if you look at the side that they put out last week, I agree with you. I think the front row wise, that Italy looks solid enough. As say, if Castro Giovanni's fit, he'll be likely to partner. You'd imagine Di Marci and Giordini up front. The back row of Minto, Mauro Bergamasco, and Sergio Parisi. I think that's good enough to get the better of this Scottish back three. And yeah, okay, I'd say the standout leading light, the talent of the game, if you like, probably is Stuart Hogg. But in Campagnaro, in Tommaso Allan, there are, and obviously, as you mentioned, Luke McLean, there are players in that Italian back line who could take the fight really to Scotland. And on the home surface, I think that you could definitely be onto something if you're backing a home win there. So it is 4-7. About Italy winning this one. Your draw, which you mentioned, is 20-1. Italy minus 4 points is 10-11, so you're getting closer to an even money price if you take the handicap. Yeah. Have you got enough confidence to go there, or do you just think that...
I think that, you know, if it is a win, it will be a close win for the Italians. They'll be happy with 1 point, but I think it'll be between... Let's be honest, it'll be between, I reckon, between 3 and 5. Points, you know, for the Italians. If they win it, they'll score a try. They haven't got too many great goal kickers, but they're managing to find the post nowadays. So, you know, let's be optimistic. Say a seven point win for the Italians if at home, if it's going to be a win. But I think it will be that close. It's going to be a one score game, and that's why for me the draw is a good bet, because it's pretty close. You know, you're going to get it's going to be a one-score game, I think, either way, whether Scotland do it or Italy do it, and that leads itself very close to that draw.
Certainly, so the handicappers maybe just be about right then in your book. So Italy on the outrights, but maybe not the handicap, and of course a 20-1 about the draw could possibly pay dividends. If we're looking at guys possibly to cross the whitewash then for either side, again, we are still waiting on Italy team news, I need to repeat that, but is there anyone that catches your eye in either of these two starting 15s or indeed on the bench?
You've got to say that Campanario is Campanario. Sorry, get his name right.
Talented player, isn't he?
My Italian to it. He's got to be there because he's such a talented young player, and he shows he's got pace, he's got good hands, he's a good defender. Playing in an outside centre berth, you know, there's opportunities there for him. The Scotland midfielder are not, should we say, that adventurous, really. He's a good young talent who does have the pay to do it. So I'd look at him as being a possibility.
Yeah, I think unadventurous, perhaps a fair word to describe the Scottish midfielder. I think Dunbar actually got quite a few plaudits for how he got on against Ireland in the first round. But whilst defensively he seemed capable, going forward you didn't see much spark there. I think that's fair enough to say. So Campagnaro as a potential try scorer looks good to me. I'll maybe add to that Stuart Hogg. I think that the 23-year-old is an undoubted talent, and if he does get the ball in space, or if there is ever much reason for him to be kicked the ball, he will be a threat with ball in hand. So
he certainly will, and you've got to remember he has scored a fantastic interception try against the Italians. I think it was last year, wasn't it? He went almost the length of the field to score, with the Italians pressing hard to looking very good, looking like they were going to score, and then suddenly, bang, Hogg got in there and ran virtually the entire length of the field to score. So, yeah, that's a good bet as well. Stuart Hogg, he's certainly one of the most talented players in the Scottish side.
Brilliant. So we'll just recap on our thoughts overall from Game 2, Jeff, if you wouldn't mind.
Well, I think there's going to be a close game. It's going to be a messy game. I expect the Italians to play with passion and power at home. I think it's going to come down to a one score either way, to be honest, and for that reason, I'd go for the draw.
20-1 about the draw. If you found 4-7 about the home side, Italy. No prices on try scorers yet. They will become available across the weekend. But Campagnaro and Stuart Hogg, the two selections from both myself and Jeff. And if you fancy it a tight game, maybe the 1-12 point winning margin live would appeal. Italy are 1-12 points winners. That's priced up at 11-8. Scotland being 1-12 point winners, 15-8. And another market I've just caught my eye, Jeff. Italy to get the first try of the game, the first team try, Italy is just a shades of odds on at 8-11. I think that could be maybe be a play.
I think it's going to be.
Perhaps not then. Maybe too much of a shorter price for something that could be.
I think you know Scotland are going to be very tense about this game because this for Scotland this is a wooden spoon game. Whichever side, as you said, whichever side loses this is a wooden spoon. So it's going to be a very, very tense game. It may not come down to tries. We may actually have a game without tries and just see penalties given away and kicks converted. But let's have the confidence to say that I've said that I think that it's going to be a close. And I think if a team wins, it'll be Italy by one score. So, yeah, let's go for the Italians with the first try.
Brilliant. Then now let's move our attentions to Twickenham. We've got a very big game, both sides. I think the Irish, if they win this, they'll be fans themselves for a grand slam. If England win it, they'll probably be looking around about the favourite mark, depending what happens in Friday night's game for the old tournament. And they are favourites to win the game, are Stuart Lancaster's men. They're 8-13 for victory over the Irish. The Irish are 11-8. The draw's 20-1, and the handicap is 3 points. Jeff, I want to talk about one thing which has taken a lot of attention of the media, the rugby media this week, and I think it's very telling, but I don't think there's many more qualified than you to talk about this. Dan Cole's injury and David Wilson's selection, surely Kian Healy's just licking his lips about that.
I wouldn't say he's licking his lips. In some ways, Wilson is actually a better suited prop to play against Healy than Cole, because Wilson is a solid squat, square guy, whereas Cole's more rangy. Cole does a lot more stuff around the field than Wilson does, but Wilson is more your traditional front row forward. So I think, yeah, certainly Healy will be looking at it saying, this is second choice prop. This is a guy we target. This is what Schmidt would be saying to Healy and the rest of the Irish forwards. You target him, but not because Wilson's particularly weak, but because he's just come back from injury. He's been out with a calf injury. He's only just come back from it. He's going to be not match fit. So if the pressure's put onto him and he's put under pressure, that could put England on the back foot. But to be honest, I actually think that England as favourites is probably the wrong bet, a wrong decision by the bookies. Not often that I think that the guys who give the prices get it wrong, but a reality is the game against Scotland last week didn't really measure where England were. Scotland was so, 2 weeks ago rather, Scotland was so weak and the game was, in many ways, very, very disappointing. England's performance against France was very good, but France won. So I find it difficult to see how England could be favourites against an Irish side that have played good rugby in both their early games.
Yeah, fair enough. Maybe the home field advantage and weight of money paying into the price there. Then I'd hate to go against you, but I saw David Wilson. To be fair, match fitness is something that is very, very valuable in these circumstances. Of course, he started for Bath against Exeter at the weekend, and Bath did actually manage to record a 4-point victory at Sandy Park. But I thought their pat looked a lot better when Wilson was actually replaced, wasn't he? Paranasi came on in place for him around about the 50-minute mark. I thought it made a difference, but we'll see. You've made some very compelling points there.
Yeah, there's other aspects as well. Young Henry Thomas might get a chance, might
from
he?
Sale. I thought that might have been the selection. Of course, Henry Thomas has been named on the bench for England. He could possibly come off him and Marco Vunipola, along with Tom Youngs. They provide the, and David Atworth, of course, provide the front row cover there. Aside from this change on the change to the front row, there is no change in the England side. So he's kept faced with Mike Brown, Jack Knowles, Luther Burrell, Billy Twelvetrees, Johnny May, and Owen Farrell, along with Danny Kerr as his backline. And I have to say, I think they looked impressive in parts. I thought that Mike Brown, again, a very assured performance, and Luther Burrell quickly becoming perhaps the standout player in the backs, perhaps, along with Danny Kerr, of the tournament for England thus far.
I think you're right. I think that Burrell certainly cemented a place in that England team. You know, we've heard a lot of talk about Sam Burgess being signed by Bath, potentially looking at the midfield. Well, you know, Luther Burrell and Tua Lange might have something to say about that.
Yeah, in certainly. The
And Billy Twelvetrees has started playing well. I think that the problem for me comes in this. I think the England backline are good, and I don't think the Irish will be stupid enough to play the same similar game that they played against the Welsh. They'll change the game slightly to the way they played it. They will see Wilson as an area to attack, and I agree. I think the problem for Wilson is that he needs to be 100% match fit. Healy used to be considered one of the weak props in the Six Nations, but he's stepped up the plate and he's improved his game, and I think he's been helped a lot by the new set laws in the game where you have to pre-bind, and he's becoming one of the best loose heads. Great run last week, 2 weeks ago rather. I have to say, he almost got thrown out the front row for doing that.
I was in the Temple Bar, and the roar was electric as he set off, I have to say.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. But the back line for England is very good. But you look at the Irish back line, it's got that old familiarity about it, hasn't it? You know, Kearney at fullback, Trimble on the wing, O'Driscoll, Darcy, young Kearney, Sexton, Murray. You know, they've got a hell of a lot of experience in that Irish side. They won't be overawed at coming to Twickenham. Most of those guys have played at Twickenham more often than the guys who are playing for England.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, I think I saw the average age of the England squad just 24. I don't know what the average age of the Ireland squad is and the average Cats, but I'd say there's certainly a weight of experience about the Irish there. Ireland, of course, they haven't made any changes to the starting 15 that won so comprehensively against Wales last week, and the only change for them comes on the bench, where it is Jordy Murphy who gets his debut. He's at Leinster at the moment, 22 years old, another product of the rugby conveyor belt that is Blackrock College, and he's been impressive for the province this year and could feature from the bench. So for you then, on the betting, as I say, Ireland are 11-8 outsiders for this. That price may be a bit too generous and perhaps disrespectful?
I think it is a bit too generous. You know, I think Ireland really should be the favourites for this. I think, you know, England are going to play, obviously playing at Twickenham, they're trying to make it Fortress Twickenham going into the World Cup. There's a lot of pressure on the English team to perform, and there were parts in that French game that were very, very impressive. Murrayfield was a mess because of the pitch and because of the conditions and because the opposition really weren't there. This is going to be a completely different game. And one of the keys to me is going to be the Irish back row. How well the Irish back row play. How well Jamie Heaslip and Binny Vilapola cancel each other out. But Chris Henry and Peter O'Mahony were outstanding against the Welsh. And, you know, they've got a balance in their back row that's, as much as Chris Robshaw is becoming better as an open side flanker, he's still not really that true open side flanker of the quality of guys like Henry. And from that point of view, you kind of think that the Irish have a slight advantage. Brian O'Driscoll, again, the emotion of Brian O'Driscoll's last appearance at Twickenham last season in a Six Nations is a hell of a thing for the Irish. And O'Driscoll, you know, he got whacked hard by Scott Williams 2 weeks ago, got up and carried on.
Yeah, there's only one of them playing this weekend, isn't there?
Yeah, exactly. So you've got to look at this, and Luther Burrell said that it's an honour to play against O'Driscoll. Yes, it is, but it's not an honour in the sense that you're overawed. I think Luther Burrell will go at him 100%, but he'll be also cautious that the man's got a lot of experience, a lot of vision, and it's going to be an interesting battle in that midfield. I think the wingers, are fairly equal. But Rob Kearney is a talent for me on the Irish side, just as Mike Brown is on the English side. So I think it'll come down to the forwards and it'll come down to that back row. And I just see Ireland having the edge in that back row battle.
Okay, then. So a shout for the Irish. I repeat, a price up at 13-8. The handicap is 3 points. So you can actually back Ireland with a 3-point cushion. You're still getting 10-11 about that price. So for the slightly safer punter, there's an option there.
Yeah, it's still a good one there. So, you know, I mean, we haven't talked about a draw, but
we do. Like, is there at 20-1 if you fancy it? We've already gone once. I mean, if you were to double up two draws, you'd be looking at the hundreds and hundreds to one, and that certainly would be a rare occasion. Yeah. With regards to a winning margin, Jeff, is there any sort of if you're going to go for a score prediction, where would you maybe be?
I think this is going to be this will be both sides have got good goal kickers, so penalties will be converted into points. I think this is going to be a 2018, a 2023-20 game.
Okay, then. So if you fancy that, a narrow win either side, so 1-12 points. We're obviously on the green camp, so at 1-12 point win by Ireland, that's 15-8. You can obviously take that smaller 1-5 point win by Ireland, you're getting 9-2 about that. There could be some interest if you look in the points market, as in the first points to be scored to be a penalty, so an Irish penalty or an English penalty, whichever way you think you want to call that, given the fact that we may think it may be low on tries this game. We'll talk about try scores again. These markets will go live either later today or tomorrow before the weekend, certainly. Who would you maybe be looking at as a try scorer? I know whilst Ireland obviously recorded, well, they put 26 points over on the Welsh last weekend, there was only the couple of tries. Chris Henry in the back row scoring, and then Paddy Jackson, he came on to touchdown and then convert his own effort in the last minutes for England. Of course, Burrell's now 2 from 2, and Mike Brown scored last week. Is there any particular try scorer fancies that you like, Jeff?
Well, Mike Brown has so far scored a try in every game, hasn't he?
Fantastic start for fullback.
Never scored before, and has scored a try in both games. So, you know, Mike Brown's got to be looked at. As I say, on the back row thing, Chris Henry again, because of the, as a follow-up, if you're looking for a forward for the Irish, certainly Chris Henry, you've got to look at him as a potential player. Lufa Burrell as well, because Lufa Burrell, as with Mike Brown, has scored in both games. He runs very good lines. He picks up players. He's a talented player. So I've from the English side, I'd go Lufa Burrell and Mike Brown. I think you've got to look at Trimble, Kearney, and as a forward, Henry.
Go on then. I'll push you for a summary. We like Ireland.
I think Ireland. I've just got a shade too much experience for this England side, and I think that we never got to judge how good England were 2 weeks ago when they played Scotland, because Scotland was so bad. This is the first game at Twickenham for the English side. It's going to be full of emotion, but I think this Irish side just have just a shade too much experience for the England side. It'll be a close game. It'll be between 7 and I think between 3 and 7 points. The score will be in the 20s for both sides. I expect a first try scorer for the Irish to be Chris Henry. As I'm going to stick my nose out and say on the back row forward, first try scorer for the English will be Mike Brown.
Brilliant then. So a fullback and a number 7 as try scorers in Mike Brown and Chris Henry respectively. Ireland to win by 1-12 points, which would encompass the sort of 3-7 mark where Jeff puts it, is 15-8, and Ireland to win 13-10. And for the safer punter, you can back Ireland with a handicap, which would give you a 3-point head start at 10-11. Jeff, the final thing I want to talk to you about, and I just want one team, I just want you to nail your colours, who's going to win the Six Nations this year?
My heart says England.
And your wallet?
My wallet says France.
There you go. And so France 7-4, England 9-4. Of course, they will change and will have a much better idea at the end of this weekend.
Although
fixtures.
Did say Ireland were going to win when we started.
And they haven't lost a game yet, though, have they? They're still there. They're 7-4, the Irish. If you fancy getting involved now, though, Jeff, maybe jumping ship there on the Irish.
I'm looking for a better bet. That's the problem. I think the Irish are going to be two favourites.
Okay, well, they're the same price as the French now. It's a 7-4 split. England at 9-4. Wales are at 12-1, and I don't really think we need to mention the other two. Jeff, thank you very much for the your thoughts and previews, and I look forward to watching the game, and fingers
it's
crossed.
It's going to be some great winners. Rugby, Michael, and you know, one sneaky bet that we haven't said is let's do that double of the draws. Let's have a draw for Ireland and England and a draw for Italy and Scotland.
A treble of the draws, it'll be in the thousands, 20 to 1 the general price of the draw. Incidentally, if you do fancy three outright picks in line with what we're suggesting, Italy to beat Scotland is 8-11, Ireland to beat England is 11-8, and Wales to beat France is 13-10. If you were to treble those all together, you're getting a price of 8.4 to 1. So for £10, you'd be looking at a £84 profit there. So that could be a way in for some excitement across Friday evening and Saturday.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.